The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing piety before others in order not to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whatever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. Did you hear Jesus and Isaiah? They're talking about virtue signaling. Virtue signaling is a display, whether it's on a shirt, a reusable, recycled cloth shopping bag, or a hybrid car. Virtue signaling means that we are making a display of our virtues, telling the world who we are and what we believe with the stuff of our lives. Look at me, I'm one of the good guys. Virtue signaling is said to be a bad thing. How can that be when it's obviously a good thing to drive a car that doesn't guzzle gas, to recycle and use recycled products, to protest with signs and banners and t-shirts the inhumane treatment of God's people? Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. There it is. It's that bit about being seen that both Jesus and the prophet Isaiah object to. When the people of God commence whining, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves? You don't even notice." The prophet says pretty much the same thing Jesus said. "Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high." Is such a fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast acceptable to the Lord? Apparently not. Virtue signaling wasn't a good idea 2,700 years ago or 2,000 years ago, nor is it today. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus said, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Those words offer us a way out of the conflicts we experience around all the stuff of our lives, whether the stuff is material or ethereal. I don't think Jesus meant we should spend our time simply contemplating all things spiritual and heavenly while leaving earthly things alone. Jesus was God incarnate, a God whose chosen dwelling place is not just in Jesus, but in you and in me. And if we look to Jesus for the pattern of our lives, we will find ourselves very much involved in earthly issues, working for justice and peace, bringing God's life-giving love to the world. To store up our treasure in heaven is not to be heady and passive, quite the contrary. Listen to Isaiah. To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, to clothe the naked when you see them. This is what it is to store up your treasure in heaven. This is the fast God has chosen for us, to fast from the endless distraction of our own self-worth and to focus on doing God's good work in the world because we are Christ in the world. Jesus wants us to set our hearts on heavenly things because that is really the only way we will ever be satisfied. While at first glance, not practicing our piety in public seems an incongruous thing to say on the day we etch ashy crosses on our foreheads, but it's really just right. Everything we have and even everything we are will someday all be dust, no matter how much or little of it there is. Ashes are just ashes. Dust is just dust. And when we are reduced to ashes and dust, no one will care how big the pile is. And that, my dears, is the gift of Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, we're offered the lovely reminder that the stuff of this life is only stuff, and that is a great relief. Today, as ashy crosses are etched onto our foreheads, we remember that we are but dust. We remember that we are mortal. We remember that God is God and we are not. Today, we are offered a new beginning in the recognition that we mortals are all, everyone, beloved of God. Remembering we are dust helps us to know that while we have all been uniquely created and gifted, in God's eyes, we are all just beautiful, messy human beings who are all beloved, very, very mortal. And today, that is the only thing we need to be thinking about. When Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven," I think what he was trying to tell us is that we probably actually will get what we say we want. If what we say we want is the trumpet blast, the big house, or the great gig, that's probably what we'll get, because that's what our hearts are set on. But if what we want is to be deeply steeped in God, if what we want is the beautiful life God promises for all people, then we will have to give up the notion that we are somehow in charge of things. While it isn't easy to recognize our mortality, there is a great gift in that ultimate surrender, because the more we surrender, the freer we are to live into the wholeness of what God has created us to be. In a few minutes, I will invite you into the observance of a Holy Lent, which will likely mean something different for each one of you. But a key for all of us is observance. The church year gives us everything we need if we will accept it, and Lent offers us the gift of 40 long, luxurious days to go inside, to come closer to God, to reflect on our lives and the choices we make, and to change. Lent is not a time for self-criticism. Everything we do in Lent is for the purpose of living richer, fuller lives. In Lent, we're encouraged to look inward rather than outward, encouraged not to be afraid of what we might find when we look deep inside. Jesus gives us everything we need to set our busyness and our fears and our anxieties aside so that God can come closer and closer. Fasting and praying and giving and working for justice and peace and love in the world, this is the stuff that will fill our souls. These are the ways we store up our treasures in heaven. Some people take something on for Lent. Some people give something up. The ancient practice of fasting is not deprivation for deprivation's sake, nor is it done in order to suffer or to impress God. To fast is to remind ourselves that everything we have is a gift from God, and that if we're honest, we will recognize that we are utterly dependent on God for our very life breath. Our fasting needs to affect change in us so that we can affect change in the world. If you want to know the true gift of fasting, try fasting from negativity, anger, suffering, self-criticism. Diminishing the negativity, anger, suffering, and criticism will indeed make a difference in the world, but it will also make a difference in us. Like Jesus said, this fasting is for you and for your Father. Let it be a gift. Some people take on a particular practice in Lent, praying at mostly the same time and mostly the same place and mostly the same way each day. Is a very good way to hear the still, small voice of God. There are all sorts of different prayer practices. You can walk the labyrinth, journal, say the daily office, draw, sit in centering silence, pray the stations of the cross, any of which might bring us closer to God and to the ones we pray for, giving us strength to do the work we are given to do. Our praying is for the life of the world, but it is also for us. Bask in your prayer, Jesus says. It's for you and for your Father. Let it be a gift. Almsgiving is an ancient Lenten practice. We don't use the word alms very much anymore, but it refers to the money people give to the church to rightly, justly, and mercifully use for the greater good. When we give from the depths of our beings, it's because we've recognized that all we have is a gift from God, and God has given us these good gifts for the life of the world, not just for ourselves. It fills us with the joy of taking our essential place in the body of Christ when we give this way. Yes, the giving matters deeply to the life of the world, but it matters just as deeply for our own lives. Delight in the giving, Jesus says. It's for you and your Father. Let it be a gift. The Lenten practice of actively working in the world for justice and peace and dignity for every human being is profoundly life-giving. Whether it's feeding hungry people, mentoring children, working for immigrant and refugee rights, canvassing for your favorite political candidate, caring for creation, or any of thousands of things that will literally change the world, working connects us deeply with God and with our sisters and brothers everywhere. It's yet another gift of Lent. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These are the words that invite us into a holy Lent. In the ashes and dust that remind us of our mortality, we find the beginning of our Lenten journey. To remember we are dust is to understand that we can stop the self-absorption of worrying about how we look or what we have or how together we are or aren't. If we can just let ourselves be dust and let God be God, we actually will have everything we need to welcome in a holy Lent. We have 40 long, luxurious days to practice. And today, the journey begins. Amen.